Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Tzadi Vav. Today we conclude the 10th parak of Masach Shabbos and begin the 11th parak of Shabbos. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children and by the Bruckheimer Family Fund in Hakaras HaTov to the Daf Yomi Shirim and in loving memory of Hindel Bas El Yakima Kohen Aleha Shalom. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding on the top of Daf Tzadi Vav Amud Aleph. And the first thing we're going to do is we discussed yesterday broken clay cheres and five different types of cracks and breaks and what the halachic nafkamina of each level of a crack or a hole in a clay cheres signifies, what the nafkamina is, the halacha. So we're going to go through some more details about broken clay cheres, and that's going to bring us to the end of the parak. And then, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to begin the next parak, the 11th parak, and the Mishnah is going to talk about throwing and passing things from one rishus to another. And the Gemara is going to discuss what the source is. Where do we ever find that there's an isra of hotza'a in the Torah? Where do we find an isra of hachnasa in the Torah? And what the difference is between an av and a tolda? Because hotza'a is the av and hachnasa is the tolda. So the mainaf kamina, whether something is considered an av or considered a tolda. Then in the middle of the page on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss the source for the isra to be zorek and to be mavir dalet amos in a rishus harabim. Where do we ever find that you're not allowed to throw something or even walk something for amos in a rishus harabim to move from one place to the other? And then at the very end of the daf, the Gemara is going to get into three opinions, which malacha the mekoshesh eitzim did in the midbar. What was his violation? And the Gemara is going to discuss l'may nafkamina, which malacha he did. After all, may dahava hava, the story is over, so whatever happened, happened. Why would it matter to us what malacha, which malacha exactly he had done? And we're going to explain that there may be a nafkamina la'alacha, at least according to one shita, which malacha the mekoshesh had done. So let's begin Tzadi Vav Amud Aleph. So we are at the very top. So we had already said yesterday that if a kli has a hole in it, kimotzi mashke, enough that liquid would drip out of it, so it's not going to affect the kli at all. The kli is still going to be mekabel tumah. However, it would affect an already broken kli, what's called a gistera that's still functional on some level, is still able to be mekabel tumah. But if it has even the tiniest crack that's kemotzi mashke, then the gistera loses its kabbalas tumah. So the Gemara is going to explain why the difference between a kli shalem that has a crack in it that's kemotzi mashke and a gistera that has a crack kemotzi mashke. So Amar Avasi Shonin kli cheres yirei bekonis mashke. When you have a real kli cheres, the shear to be mevatel the shame kli, at least partially from it, is if it's a big enough hole that liquid can get into the kli. So that, at least for kiddush mechatas, would make it not a kli. It would still be a kli that's mekabel tumah until it's kemotzi zayis, right? But it's for kiddush mechatas, for using it for preparing the paraduba waters, that would take away its status kli, status of a kli. V'lo amru motzi mashka elin gistra bilvad. And motzi mashka, the shear of an even tinier crack that would allow liquid to escape from the kli, that only chaps enough kamina if you're dealing with a gistera, if you're dealing with an already broken kli. So ask the Gemara, my taima, why is it that a shear, that a hole that's kenegev, that's kimotzi mashka, is mevatel l'shem gistera, but it's not mevatel l'shem kli when it's a real kli? Some marzutra breder of nachem l'fi shein omrim have a gistera l'gistera, because if there's a leak in a kli, what they'll often say is, oh, bring over a shard of pottery, bring over a broken kli to catch whatever is leaking out. But no one would ever say that, bring over a shard of pottery when there's a broken shard of pottery. You wouldn't say, bring a gistera for that which is already a gistera, to put it underneath to catch the liquid that's seeping out of it. And therefore, once a gistera has a hole in it, we just discard the gistera, and that's why it loses its shame kli entirely once it has a hole in it. The poskim use this line of Einom to be maybe gistra legistra in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim. The Shulchan Aruch Harav in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim says that Yesh Omrim, that the whole shear of Koneis Mashke is only by a kli shalem that's nikav. But let's say you have a gistra and you want to use it for Netilas Yadayim. What does it mean, a gistra? a kli that's already somewhat broken, a kli that's partially broken. It's still usable, but let's say the handles are broken off of the kli. So it's broken in a way that the base kibble is still usable, but the handles of the kli are broken. So if there's a hole in it, kimotzi mashka, says the Shulchan Aruch Harav, it would become pasul in Atilas Yadayim. It loses the sense, it loses the status of a kli, because a person doesn't say, have a gistra legistra. So that's the Shulchan Aruch Harav applying this concept lahalacha. There's also a further application, perhaps, but this is a little bit further afield and questionable whether it's in fact an appropriate application of this concept. But the poskim discuss what happens if a person has a broken loaf of bread and he wants to use it for lecha mishnah. So the Beis Yosef writes in Orchaim Simkuf Samachas in the name of the Rokeach that if you have two halves of a loaf of bread, you could attach them together with a toothpick. And as long as it's near a ke'echad, it looks like one full loaf, then it will have a din of a shalem. And the halacha is, when you have a prusa ushlema, you're mevarich ala prusa, you're botzei ala prusa, and ala shalem, and not on the prusa. So if you have broken loaves of bread, and then you have another loaf of bread that's cut into two pieces, so says the Beis Yosef, when you attach the two pieces with a toothpick, now it becomes a shalem, and now it gets precedence for the bracha. And the other nafka mina, which is much more nogeya l'chora, is that if you don't have lecha mishnah and you have two shlemos for lecha mishnah, but you have a broken loaf, you have a broken challah that's in two pieces, so you can connect it together using a toothpick. That's what the rokeach says. That's what the Beis Yosef quotes from the rokeach. So the Chasam Sofer has a tshuva in Or Chaim Sim Mem Vav. He was asked, what if it's not in two pieces, it's in five pieces, it's broken up entirely? So would you still say that you could connect it with a toothpick? So the Chasam Sofer says this whole topic is very strange, and one could say that attaching with a toothpick really shouldn't help for Betzias HaPas. The whole chiddush of the Rokech, that it does help, is a big chiddush. So in the Chabo El Chidusho, and he says that the Lashon, the Shulchan Aruch, is that how do you put the loaf of bread together? You put kotza echad of the toothpick into the pas, and the kotza asheni into the prusa. Sounds like it was just a piece broken off of a loaf of bread, but to just say that it applies to a whole bunch of broken pieces, and then you can put them all together and make a shalem, so Chasam Sofer that says that's like saying that ain omrim have a gistra legistra. If it's already broken, to then break it further, then it's broken further after it's already broken, to then try to put it back together again, that's too much. It's too far away. So that's a questionable application, because that's not talking about kelim, obviously. It's talking about lechem. But nevertheless, that's the other time we find such an application of this concept in the halacha. Okay, so another halacha we mentioned is that if you have a kli, a flower pot that has a hole in it the size that a root is able to get through, so that which is growing in the flower pot is not able to be mekabel tumas ochlin. It's considered mechuber lekarka in the sense that it's not mekabel tumas ochlin. So it says the Gemara, this is in fact a machlokas tanoim. Amru lepliga b'trei amaray b'maravis machlokas amaray. In Eretz Yisrael, where they argue about Hechsher leKabel Tumah, Rabbi Yossi Baravin, Rabbi Yossi Bar Zavda, Chad Amar Kemotzi Rimon, V'Chad Amar Kesharish Katan. That one says the shear of a hole to be Mevatel a Kli, as far as Hechsher Zra'im, as far as the contents of the pot being able to become Hechsher leKabel Tumah, is only if the hole is the size of that a pomegranate would fall through. And the other says, no, just a hole the size that a root would be, a tiny root would be able to go through that hole. So now this is menakotza lakotza, because there's another shear in between. The shear in between would be the shear kimotzi zayis, the amount that an olive would be able to fall through. So v'simenayich, the way to remember the two deos over here is echad amarba ve'echad amamit. Marba and mamit are two extremes. So when you say the words echad amarba, echad amamit, you'll remember that over here you have a machlokas where there are two extremes. extremes, which is unusual. Normally you have machlokas, we try to minimize the difference between the two shittos, but that's why this is an anomaly. There are two shittos. One says the hole should be the size of a tiny little root, and the other one says, the hole the size that a rimon, that a pomegranate would fall through. Okay, we had also said that a klicheris that has a hole that's kemotzi zayis is no longer able to be mekabel tuma unless you're meyachid it for rimonim. If you decide, I'm going to use this kli now to hold pomegranates or to hold apples or something else, and therefore it's the hole is not going to be a problem for it anymore because the hole is the size that a zayis would fall through, so then So then it becomes a kli again. So says the Gemara, not everyone agrees to that. Amar Rav Chinna bar Kahana Mishmed Rav Lazar, kli cheres shi'uro kemotzi zeisim. The shear of a kli cheres for it to lose its status of a kli, of being mekabel tuma, is kemotzi zeisim. Mark shish b'rei d'rabba m'sayim b'mishmed Rav Lazar, mishmed Rabbi Eliezer, v'arei hein kekli galalim, u'kli avanim, u'kli adama, shein mekabel tuma lo midivri tov v'lo midivri sofrim. That a kli that has a hole that's kemotzi zeis is the same as a kli that's made out of galalim, out of animal excrement, or made out of stone, or made out of mud, that they're not only mekabel tuma, they're not mekabel tuma midaraisa nor midrabanan. Even if you do designate them for the use to hold rimonim, it's still not going to be mekabel tuma, because once it has a nekev that's kemotzi zeisim, that's it. It loses its status of kabbalas tuma, which is against what we said in our Mishnah, right? We said in our Mishnah that once you are, we said in the Gemara yesterday, that you decide to use the kli for rimonim, even though it has a hole that's motzi zeisim, so now it's going to become a kli again. So over here, you see, not like that. A linyan samid pasil at sheipachis rubo, and as far as being matzil ba'al ames from its samid pasil, so that's going to continue until it's yipachis rubo, until the majority of the kli is broken. That's when it loses the status of samid pasil. So adron alach hamatzniya. Now we move on to perek hazorek. So perek hazorek is going to continue the discussions of hotza'a, but particularly discussions of hotza'a when it comes to throwing items from one rishus to another, or throwing items, Dalet Amos and Rishus Harabim. So let's remind ourselves of some of the basic principles of Hotza'ah. A person is Chayav on Hotza'ah only if he does an Akira and a Hanacha, right? That's principle number one. You have to have an Akira in one Rishus, a Hanacha in the other Rishus. However, the Chachamim Asur Midrabanan, even if you do one or the other, either an Akira or a Hanacha. Principle number two of Hotza'ah, that you're only chayiv on Hotza'ah when you take something from Rishus, if you took it from you picked it up from a place that was four tfachim by four tfachim, and you put it down on a spot that is four tfachim by four tfachim. Principle number three, that a person's hand is considered a makom of four tfachim by four tfachim, even though a hand by definition is not for the definition of a tefach is a closed fist, right? So obviously a hand by definition is not four tfachim by four tfachim, but nevertheless, a person's hand is considered a makom from which hotza'ah can be done, and a makom to which hotza'ah can be done. However, it takes on the status of whatever rishus the person happens to be standing in. Meaning, so what's his hand? Is it a rishus yachid or a rishus ram? Well, if he's in a rishus ram, it's a rishus ram. If he's in a rishus yachid, then it's a rishus yachid. And let's remind ourselves again, the four rishuyos of Shabbos, or rishus yachid, the features of a rishus yachid, that it's got to be four tvachim by four tvachim with a height of 10 tvachim, meaning height of either that it's a post of 10 tvachim or that it's surrounded by walls that are 10 tvachim high. And Rishus Yachid is Ola Ad L'Rakia. The Rishus Yachid goes all the way up. It's way above 10 tvachim, above the floor of the Rishus Yachid, still has a status of Rishus Yachid. Rishus HaRabim is a place that's 16 amos wide. It's open to the public. It's mefulash. It's open on both sides. It could be used for intercity travel. Some Rishonim say it needs to have 600,000 people that traverse the Rishus Harabim daily, so that's the din of a Rishus Harabim, but the Shir Rishus Harabim only goes up within the first 10 tefachim above the surface. Once it's more than 10 tefachim above the surface, above the floor, so then you're no longer in a Rishus Harabim. Then, of course, we have a Carmelis, which is neither Rishus Yachid nor Rishus Harabim, and Minat Torah, you're allowed to take from a Carmelis to either of those Rishios, but be derabanan. It's aser, and the airspace above a karmelis is only considered a karmelis up until 10 tefachim. Above that, more than 10 tefachim, above the karmelis is already a makom patur, which of course is the fourth rishos of Shabbos. Neither rishos yachid nor rishos ram nor karmelis, and there's not even an iser midrabanan to carry from makom patur to rishos rabim nor to a rishos yachid. Okay, so that's our reminders of the basics of hotzah. So now let's see the Mishnah. Hazorik mirshus yachid rishos ram. Someone throws something from rishos yachid to rishos ram, or mirshus ram rishos yachid, or vice versa. Chayiv. He's chayiv for the zrika. That is a violation of hotzah. Mirshus yachid rishos hayachid rishos ram beemtza. But if a person throws something from one rishos yachid to another rishos yachid via a rishos rabim, he throws it through a rishos rabim, but it lands across the street in the rishos yachid. Rabbi Akiva mechayiv. Rabbi Akiva says you're going to be chayiv because we view that as if you threw from the rishos yachid to the rishos rabim, and then the rishos rabim to the rishos yachid. That's a real legitimate violation of hotzah. But vechachamim potrim. The chachamim say that you're going to be potter. The Gemara is going to elaborate on that in tomorrow's daf. We're not going to get to it in today's daf, but we're going to elaborate on that machlokas, what the svara for each shita is and what the case is that they're arguing about. So ketzad. So now the Mishnah explains the shita of the chachamim. The chachamim say that your potter when you throw from one rishus yachal to another rishus yachal and rishus rabim is be'emtza. So what's the case? Let's say you have two awnings or two porches that protrude outside of a home, outside of a rishos yachid. So the porches themselves are a rishos yachid, but they hover over a rishos rabim. Zu keneged zu b'rishos rabim. You have corresponding across from each other on two sides of rishos rabim. Sa moshid fa'azorek mizu lazu. Potter, if you pass something from one to the other, or you throw something from one to the other, you're going to be potter, even though it's passing through a rishos harabim in the middle. That's the sheet of the chachamim, that you're potter. How you stayin b'tuta achas, if they're both on the same side of the rishos harabim, and there's a even though the rishos harabim is between them, hamoshit chayiv. Well, then if you pass from one to the other, you're going to be chayiv for otzah v'azorek potter. But if you throw from one to the other, you're going to be potter. Why? Shekachay savodas alaviim shteh galuzu acharzu b'rishos harabim umoshit in akrashim izuluzu avalozorkin. Because the very malacha of otzah was done in such a way where they passed on the same side of rishos harabim from one rishos yachid to the other rishos yachid. They didn't throw. They passed the items from one side to the other within a rishos harabim. So since it was done by passing and it was all done on one side of the rishos harabim, that is the malacha. Even according to the chum, that would be a violation of the malacha. So how do I know that they passed things and they didn't throw from one gala to the other? So the Yerushalmi writes, the Yerushalmi quotes a brisa that they didn't throw because they couldn't be known. They wouldn't be knowing minig bizayon on the boards of the Mishkan. The Rav Yah is the gear said shalolinog bekudshim bizayon. So krushim kudshim. You could see how such a girsa can creep in there one way or the other. But the point is the same either way, that it's a bizayon to the boards of the Mishkan, whether it's because they are holy, because they are something that was used for holiness. So you're not allowed to throw them. Rashi gives a different reason. Rashi says that they weren't thrown. She'enos and krashim mizrakos mipnei kovdan, because they're just too heavy. So these are heavy boards. They couldn't throw them from one to the other. So some say no. Rashi really means say what the Yerushalmi says. It's a girsa problem in Rashi. It's not kovdan. It's kvodan. That's what the girsa should be in Rashi, and it's also an inyan of paying proper respect. In the Yalkut HaMe'iri, he says you have to change the girsa in Rashi because the reason the Yerushalmi is difficult that you're not allowed to throw because of bizayon kachim. So how could they throw the needles that they used for sewing the curtains? We're going to learn about a little bit later in the daf at the time of the Avodas HaMishkan. So how were they able to throw those things? So he says it must be that the needles since they're so tiny, it is the derech to throw them from one person to the other. Oh, and when something is the derech of transporting it is by throwing it, it's not a bizayon to throw it. But if you have something that people normally wouldn't throw, to then throw it becomes a bizayon. And that's why when Rashi says mipnei kovdan, it's the same as saying mipnei kvodan. It's only a problem of the kavod of the boards because they were heavy, and it would be a totally abnormal thing to throw. So that's a question, whether tashmishei mitzvah, are you allowed to throw items that are tashmishei mitzvah? You know, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that you're not even allowed to throw food. So is tashmishei mitzvah at least have to be treated with the same kavod as food, right? Can you throw that pair of tzitzis over to me? So it's tashmishei mitzvah. Are you allowed to throw tzitzis? So there's discussions in the Achronim to what extent we have to be mechabed tashmishei mitzvah and what's considered to be a violation of the kavod of tashmishei mitzvah. Okay, says the Gemara now. So we had said in the Mishnah that if you throw something from Rishus Yach to Rishus Rabim or vice versa, you're chayiv. So michti zrika tolda da hotzaihi. Zrika is a tolda of hotzah. Well, hotzah gufa hechaksiva. Where do we ever find that there's an isra of hotzah in the Torah? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Damar Krak, because the Pasuk says, after they told Moshe that the Nedavos that were brought for the Mishkan was enough, and that they didn't need any further, so it says, Vayitzav Moshe ve'aviru kol b'machne. That Moshe let it be known publicly, and the Pasuk continues, the Gemara doesn't quote the old Pasuk, v'ish v'isha al yasu od melech l'trumas hakodesh, v'yikale ame avi, that enough, no one has to bring any more, and no one did bring any more. So Moshe nechan avi yasev, where was Moshe situated? He was in the Machna Leviya. Machna Leviya Rishus Rabim Avai. The Machna Leviya was a Rishus Rabim. Why? Because everyone used to come to Moshe Rabbeinu, Rashi points out. So if the entire Klal Yisrael, the Gantz Klal Yisrael, was always going to Moshe Rabbeinu, so that's what makes it a Rishus Rabim. The Meiri points out, why were they all coming to Moshe Rabbeinu? Because they all had Shailas, they all had Dinei Torah, and the Leviyim were not allowed to stop the access. Nowadays, the minig is that sometimes Gedolei Yisrael, they have henchmen around them to limit access. So people won't be hacking the Gedolim all day, but Moshe Rabbeinu had no such thing. He wanted access to Moshe Rabbeinu. You came, and the Levim didn't do anything about it. So Rashi has to say this because this is Rashi Lishitasa. Why does Rashi have to point out that everyone could come to Moshe Rabbeinu and they would all have access to Moshe Rabbeinu? Because Rashi writes in Maseches Erevin that the definition of Rishus Rabbim is that there are Shishim Ribo that are there. So that's the so Rashi has to say just because he was in Machna Leviyah, who says Machna Leviyah is a Rishus Rabbim? Rashi has say all Shishim Ribo of Klal Yisrael had access to it, but L'chora that's difficult because Bizman that the Bnei Yisrael brought the Nedavos of the Mishkan, there was no Machna Leviyah. The Leviyim were not yet separated. They were not yet. So what does that mean that he was in the Machna Leviyah? So Rav Meir Arik in the Tel Torah says that you have to say that each Shevet still had their own location, and Moshe was among Shevet Levi. So you have to say that even before there was officially a Machna Leviyah with all the Lachos of Machna Leviyah, right? The Machna Shechina, the Machna Leviyah, and the Machna Yisrael had different levels of Kedusha and Tumah, whatever, with all the halachos of Machna Leviyah, but still they had such a thing, they had such a concept that the Shevet Levi was living on their own. So anyway, V'kamer Luli Yisrael, so Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klal Yisrael, Lo tapiku v'teisum rishus yach didchul rishus ram. When he said, don't bring anything, he was saying, it's Shabbos, so you're not allowed to bring anything. You guys are all in your tents, you're in the rishus yachid. I'm in Machna Leviyah, I'm in Rishus Rabim. So don't bring anything from Rishus Yach to Rishus Rabim. Ask the Gemara, is that what he was saying? You look at the Pesukim, it doesn't sound at all that he was giving instructions in Hilchos Shabbos. It sounds like they collected enough and it was a weekday and he was telling them, don't bring anything because we don't need anything. We're done. We've collected everything that needs to be collected. So Gemara Havara Havara Miyom HaKippurim. So the Gemara says, we learn from that it must have been that he was teaching a halach in Hilchos Shabbos, in addition to the fact that he was telling them not to bring any more, because the Pshuto Shel Mikra is also correct. But in addition to that, we learn that a halach in Hilchos Shabbos from here, that it's a malacha of Hotzah based on Yom HaKippurim, that it must be that it was on Shabbos that he was speaking and he was instructing in Hilchos Shabbos. Why? How do we learn anything from Yom HaKippurim? Because Ksiv Hacha Ve'aviru Kol B'machne, it says Ve'aviru Kol B'machne, Ksiv Hasan by Yom Kippur of a Yovel, it says, V'ha'varta shofar for trua. So malalon biyom masur, just like by Yom Kippurim of Yovel, we're talking about a day that you're not allowed to do malacha, a day that's also basiyas malacha. Avkan biyom masur. So too over here, we're talking about a day that's also basiyas malacha, which must be Shabbos. And Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them not to bring anything else because of the malacha of Hotsa'a. Had he told them just because the Mishkan, they collected everything that they need, so we would not have needed this Gezerah Shava to link this to Yom HaKippurim. The Gezerah Shava teaches me that additional halacha. So it says, where Ashkechon Hotsa'a, Hachnasa Minalan. Good, you've explained to me where Hotsa'a comes from. Where does Hachnasa come from? How do I know that you're not allowed to bring something from Rosh HaSarabim into a Rosh HaSayachid? So says Gemara, Svarohi, that's a Svara, Michtim, Rosh HaSarashosu, Mali Afuke, Mali Ayuli. Once you take, you're transferring something from one Rosh to another, what difference does it make whether you're bringing something outside, you bring something inside? Either way, it's from one Rosh to another Rosh Hashanah. Mi Otsah Av Hachnasa Tolda. But Hotsah is the Av Melacha. Hachnasa, because that's not explicit in the Pasuk, the case of Moshe Rabbeinu was only Hotsah, was not Hachnasa, so that downgrades Hachnasa to a Tolda. Hachnasa is only a Tolda, it is not an Av. So says Mar Michti, Ahamachayev v'ahamachayev. Am I Karila High Av, am I Karila High Tolda? Well, wait a second. You're Chayev for Hotsah, you're Chayev for Hachnasa, it's the same Chiyuv, you get the same punishment for both of them, so why is one called an Av and one called a Tolda? Meaning, l'may nafkamina, that one is called an Av and one is called a Tolda. We're not asking why one is called an Av, the reason that there are certain malachs that are called an Av and called a Tolda. We're asking l'may nafkamina, that one is called an Av and one is called a Tolda. So nafkamina, says the Gemara, di yavid shtei avos pa'adei adadi, inami shtei talados pa'adei adadi, mechayev tarti. But v'yavid av talada didei, lo mechayev elchada. If you were to do two avos in the same helim, so you're, or you were to do an av and its tolda. If you were to do two avos malacha that are different from each other, or two toldos that are different from each other, so you're chayiv twice. You chayiv two karbanos, two chataos, one for each violation. But if you do an av and its own tolda in one period of forgetfulness, you're only chayiv one karban chatas. So that's why it's important to know what's an av and what's a tolda, because the toldos of that particular av done behelem echad with that particular av is only going to be mechayev one karban. In the Shita Mekubetzes, at the beginning of Sechs Baba Kama, at the beginning of Baba Kama, we talk about avos and toldos also, right? Because avos and toldos of nezikin. So you have avos and toldos. So we compare avos and toldos of nezikin and Baba Kama Daf Beis to avos and toldos of Shabbos, to avos and toldos of Tuma, right? Because the first sugya is toldosein kiyotziben or toldosein lav kiyotziben. So by Shabbos, toldosein or kiyotziben. The halachas of a tolda are exactly the same as the halachas of an av. By Tumah, not so. By Tumah, that which the Tumah was transferred to is on a lower level of Tumah from that which it was transferred from, with the notable exception of Cherev Hareu Kichalal. So there is this discussion in the beginning of Baba Kama. So the Shittim Gvetz in Baba Kama raises the following question. He quotes from the Mari Katz that the fact that you only chayiv once when you do an Av and its Tolda is not because a Tolda is fundamentally different than an Av. In fact, if you do the same Av twice, right, if you do two acts that are both avos but of the same malacha, you're also only going to be chayiv once. Meaning, you're noteya and zoreya. So they're both the same av malacha. So nevertheless, you're still or you're ofe umevashel. You cook and you bake, right? So you're also chayiv once if it's behelem echad. They're both the av. It's not that one of them is a tolda. So his answer is very difficult to understand. He says the only reason you're chayiv chatas achas is because of the reason you're chayiv chatas achas when it's not an av and a tolda is because you're not chayiv for the tolda. The tolda is a lower level. If it would have been an av, then really you should be chayiv another chatas, just like we find borer, zorum, raket are the same basic idea, but yet they're three different malachos. So that's his answer. But his answer doesn't really seem to make much sense. Yeah, those are three different malachos. What about ofa umavashal, which is not two different malachos? Ofa umavashal is the same malacha. So it's difficult to understand what his answer is. The Achronim discuss it over there. Back in the Gemara, Ula Rabbi Eliezer de Mechayiva Tolda b'makomav Amai Karula Av Amai Karula Tolda. According to Rabbi Eliezer, that you're chayiv even on a Tolda that you do simultaneously, that you do together with an Av Malacha. So then, what's the Nafkamina? Meaning, you only give a Nafkamina if you assume that that's true. That when you do an Av and it's Tolda, that you're only chayiv one Chatos. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, that you're not only chayiv one Chatos. So why would something be called an Av and something be called a Tolda, or the main Nafkamina that something's called an Av or a Tolda? So Hachtav Mishkan Chashiv. That malacha that was chashav in the Mishkan is called an av. That which was not a chashav malacha done in the Mishkan is not called an av. The Ramban points out that there's no nafkamina between an av and a tolda. There's just a reason why one would be labeled an av and the other one a tolda. So this is not really answering the question of nafkamina. It's just really explaining why how something gets categorized as an av or a tolda. So the way to the categorization just helps remind us of what was actually done in the Mishkan. However, Tosfos understands in Dibra Maskel Ula Rebbe that there is a nafkamina over here between an av and a tolda, and that's as far as a hasra'a, because a person is only chayv skila for chil Shabbos if you gave him hasra'a for the malacha that he's doing. So if he does a tolda, you need to give him hasra'a mishum it's av, and not mishum the tolda itself. So if you were to tell a person, don't do that, you're about to do, and you just identify the tolda, then it's not good enough. You have to identify the av that the tolda is associated with. So that's why it's important to know if a particular act is a tolda or an av. If it's a tolda, then don't say that. That's not a valid asra. If it's an av, then just say the act that he's doing. It is a valid asra. So that's what Tosfos understands, that this in fact is a nafkamina la'alacha. Inami, a third possibility of what the difference between av and a tolda is, hach tiksiva kari av. Any malacha that's written in the Torah is called an av, ayd lo ksiva kari tolda. And whatever is not written in the Torah is called a tolada. It's not called an av. Okay, so now, once we explain the makar for the malacha of Otsah and Zrika from Rosh Hashanah, so we're going to explain the makar for the din of Zrika of four Amos in Rosh Hashanah and Havara of four Amos in Rosh Hashanah. Vahad etzanan, Zorik arba Amos, Bakosa, Lamaila by Asar Tfachim, Kizorik ba Avir. Now let's say you throw something four Amos in Rosh Hashanah and then it sticks to a wall. You throw it up against a wall and it gets stuck to the wall. So if it's more than 10 Tfachim off the ground, then it's like throwing it in the airspace above 10 Tfachim over which is a makom p'tur, so then you're not going to be chayiv. But lematame asar tefachim. But if it lands on the wall within 10 tefachim of the ground, kizorik ba'aretz, that's like you threw it on the ground. Vazorik ba'aretz arba amos chayiv. And if you throw four amos in Rosh Hashanah and something lands on the ground, you are chayiv. Zork arba amos Rosh Hashanah minal in demichayiv. So says Gemara, how do I know? Where do we find that being zorik dalar amos in Rosh Hashanah is chayiv? Amr b'yoshia shekein orge yirios zork in machtein zelazeh. The weavers of the curtains of the Mishkan would throw their needles to each other. Says Gemara, wait a second, you don't know a lot about weaving if you think they have needles. Organ machtin lamalahu. Weavers don't have needles. Sewers have needles. You don't weave with a needle. El shekein tofra yirios organ machtin zelazah. Okay, let's change that. It's the people who were sewing the yirios would throw their needles to each other. V'dim l'gabe hadadi avayasvi. How do you know they were four amos away from each other? How is that a source for being zorik dalet amos? Who says that the people who were sowing the ureals were far away from each other? So they had to be, otherwise they would keep poking each other with the needles. So they had to be sitting at some distance from each other. Okay, but maybe they weren't sitting right next to each other, but they were whatever, they weren't fully socially distanced either. They were within four amos from each other. They were just close enough that how much is an arm's reach already? It's way less than four amos, so it's just close enough that they weren't poking each other. Elam Rav Chisra says it must be a different source for the idea of being zorik dalet amos. Shekein orge yirios zorkin buchyar bayiria. They would take the kli that the arev strands were placed in between the chute ashesi from one side to the other, and the width of the yirios was four amos. So they would have to take that kli, that buchyar, and move it four amos away in order to insert it in between the strands as they're weaving. So says Marvala Ugdo Biado. So even though that kli is going four amos away from you, because the width of the urea is so big, it's four amos, but it's ogdo biyado, it's still connected to you, you're still holding it, so you haven't dropped it, you haven't passed it to anybody else. So it says more, beniska basra. Well, the la- last pass through, you're going to drop it at the end, and therefore it's going to be mavir dalet amos. But wait a second, the bukhyar was between the strands of the chassis, so that place is not bottled to the Rosh Hasharabim. It's not four tefachim by four tefachim, so it's a makom p'tur. Elish kein orge yirios zorkin bukhyar l'sho'alehen. No, sometimes the other weavers they didn't have the kli and they needed to borrow from some of the other weavers, so they would throw it to each other to use it. But maybe when they were weaving, they were sitting right next to each other. No, then they would keep on bumping into each other as they're trying to weave. It takes, you need space, you need a work area if you're trying to weave something. Maybe they were sitting one in front of the other, so they had their workspace on the sides from each other, but so they're perfectly socially distanced on the sides, but from the front to the back they weren't. So says Gemara, and furthermore, Mishi Ilime Adadi, you think when they were making the Urias they were borrowing things from each other? Vatani Luda, but the Brisa was it was taught in Lud that by the Melech Samishkan, ish mimlachto asher hema osim. We learn from there, mimlachto hu osaveno osim mimlachas chavero, that each one had their own tools, their own utensils, and they were only using their own stuff. They wouldn't be lending to each other, they wouldn't be loaning things to each other. Visu. And furthermore, even if you're going to learn from the weaving of the Urios, you can only learn that if you zorik for amos and Rosh Hashanah Mirchayiv, but mavir arba amos for Rosh Hashanah Minolan de Mirchayiv. How do I know that if you're not zorik, that if you just are mavir something, you just bring something for amos and Rosh Hashanah Rabim, that you can be chayiv for that as well? Because the Orga Urios, the most it could teach you, is about being zorik. Ella, so says Gemara, it's not from the sowing of the Urios, it's not from the Orga Urios, alakola arba amos for Rosh Hashanah Rabim, Gemara Gemirila. It's simply a Masara, Halachal Moshe Messinai, Dalar Amos Birishas Rab. That's the way the Rov Rishonim say. Gemar Gemirla means Halachal Moshe Messinai, that it's included. Halachal Moshe Messinai, that it's a tolda of Hotza'ah. The Ramban and the Rashba say, and the Ran say that it's not Halachal Moshe Messinai, that it's an Av Malacha, but Halacha, because if that were the case, then there would be more than 39 Avos Malachos, but that it's a tolda of hotza'ah. Okay, so says Mar Amr Ravidom Shmuel. Now moving on to the Mekoshesh Eitzim. So this is a dafyomi coincidence for our friends in Israel, not for us, because right? Am I right about that? No, is it for us? No, Shlach, right? So Mekoshesh is in Shlach. I think it is a dafyomi coincidence for our friends in Eretz Yisrael. So I'm looking at Shamshi Shlach, right? So you get a dafyomi coincidence today. So I'm Rav Yudam Shmuel. Mekoshesh Mavir Abraham's Rosh Hashanah Mehava. The Mekoshesh violated being Mavir Dal Ramos in the Rosh Hasharab. Meaning, what did he do? He was Mekoshesh Eitzim. And what's so bad about being Mekoshesh Eitzim? What, that Eitzim or Muktza? He must have violated Nisa Doraisa. So it said he was Mavir Dal Ramos Rosh Hasharab. Which is interesting because L'chora, it was not in Rosh Hashanah. The Bir Alach already points out in Simon Shin Mem Hey, hard to say that it was Rosh Hashanah because he did his malacha far away from the machana. The pasuk says, "Vayimtzu ish." They found the man being Mekoshesh Eitzim. If it was the middle of Times Square, there's no finding him. He's just doing it. He's just right in the middle of the machana Leviyah being Mekoshesh Eitzim. So it must be that it was not a Rosh Hashanah. But according to what the Rishonim say, that when they traveled in the Midbar, even other Midbaros that they were going to travel and had a dinner of Rosh Hashanah, it would not be a problem. Then you'd say, yeah, even though people weren't around, it was still a Rosh Hashanah. So there are Rishonim that say that way. The Chidushim and Yuchasim Loran quote such a daya in the name of the Ra'ah. But the Bir Alach says that even though Rashi says Rosh Hashanah is Dafka, a place that Shishim Ribo people go, it doesn't mean Shishim Ribo at that time. It just means a place where Shishim Ribo typically would travel. So it could be that he went at a low traffic time and he was Mekoshesh. Okay, so it could be that he was Mavir Dal and Rosh Hashanah, Masni Satana, but we have a Brisa that says, no, it was a different thing that he violated. Tole Shava. He had uprooted wood from being attached to the ground. Rav Acha b'Rabbi Yaakov Amar Ma'amer Hava. malacha. He had gathered and piled together the wood. So three shitos as to what his malacha was. So lemay nafkamina, what's the nafkamina, what he did. So it says, mar lechadirav, damarav, matzasi megillah starim, be Rabbi Chia, I found an old notebook, v'kasav be, yisi ben yudomer, avos malachos, arbaam chasar achas, ve'inu chayiv el achas, that there are 39 avos malachos, but if you do all of them, you're only chayiv once. So it says, mar achas v'sulo, that's not the rule, that's not true. V'atanan, the Mishnah already said, when it taught us about the 39 malachos, avos malachos, arbaam chasar achas, v'avinu b'minyan alamali, we already asked, why do I need to know the number of avos malachos, v'am Rabbi Yochanan, shemason kulam be'lamechot, chayiv al kalachas v'achas, to tell me that I'm chayiv separately for each and every one of them. So don't tell me that Isi ben Yuda holds that you only chayiv one karban chatos when you do all 39 malachos. So ema enu chayiv al achas mehem. No, what it means to say is that there is one malacha, there's a mystery malacha that you're not going to be chayiv misa for. And Isi ben Yuda doesn't explain which malacha it is. Now the Rishonim point out, even if you're going to say that there's a malacha that you're not chayiv misa for, by virtue of the fact that we say that you are chayiv a karban for each and every malacha that's done b'shogeg, it must be that you're still chayiv kares if you do that malacha b'mezid. Meaning there are three levels. You do it b'mezid u'basra, it's skila. You do it b'shogeg, it's chatos. But if you do it b'mezid without asra, it's kares. So we're excluding this malacha only from the level of skila if it's done b'mezid u'basra, because you only mechayev chatos for something that would be kares if done b'mezid. So anyway, Rav Yehuda pshita leidah mavir chayev. So one thing we know, the mekoshesh was chayev misa. So if there's a malacha that you're chayev misa, that there's one mystery malacha that you're not chayev misa for, it's not whatever the mekoshesh did. So now we have a nafkamina between the three shitos about the mekoshesh. Rav Yehuda pshita So each one, whatever they identify the Mekoshesh as having done, is not going to be that mystery malacha. So Mar Savar Hami Yasla Masafka, Mar Savar Hami Yasla Masafka. Each one is not Masupak about that malacha. It's about the other 38 that are Masupak, which one a person is not going to be Chayiv Misa for. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with Tanur Rabbanan more about the Mekoshesh in tomorrow's Shir. Have a great day, everybody.